Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Brie.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay. I gotta.
All right. Well,
I gotta pull up my notes. Okay.
Oh.
I ready.
Hello.
Right. And welcome
to Off Script,
a podcast
where we compare books to their movies.
I'm Brie.
I'm Allie, and today we're doing The Gunslinger, Dark Tower. Yeah, I couldn't figure out how to throw you off in this one. That's why I kept pausing. I was like, what should I say?
I know. I was like, her long pauses are her trying to throw me off, but that doesn't throw me off.
No, I legit wasn't. My pauses weren't even it. I was just trying to be like, shoot, what can I say? What can I do to throw her off? Got nothing.
Nothing.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
Yeah. All right.
I hear you have a picture for us.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So we just finished recording an author interview with Mae Roberts, right? Mm-hmm. And so I go out to just, you know, it was the end of the interview. Just go check on my kids. Say, go brush your teeth. There is an Amazon package. Torn to shreds. Yeah. So Luna got it. It was brand new windshield wipers for my car. Of course, Paul, my brother, is like, get the expensive ones because then you have to replace them less. Yeah. So I'm like horrified. Luckily, she only kind of chewed the cap off of them and they kind of came apart, but like I could put it all back together and slip the cap on. It's just kind of chewed up, so the product itself is not super ruined, which is good. But my two children literally were in the same room while this was happening and they were just glued to their iPad. I was like, are you freaking kidding me?
No.
I went off on them. I was like, because she also got, what was it for? Oh, I got it down. One of them was having a popsicle. They like to have bowls with their popsicles. So they put it in the bowl. So she also tore up. Luckily, it was like, whatever. But it was like one of our plastic bowls. She tore up that because she couldn't. She doesn't like to, she has anxiety, my freaking dog. And so, but Clutch was in here. And if I get both of them in here, they freaking growl. And we were in the middle of the interview. That's why I didn't have her in here. But, oh my gosh. I was like, are you too serious? Like, yes, I'm irritated that she tore it up. But she loves tearing up boxes. Like, I personally should have known and, like, not left it at her level. But you guys could have freaking stopped her, and you're just sitting there. They're like, I didn't know it was important. And I'm like, I don't care. Look up from your iPad and see. Maybe she shouldn't be chewing on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
God. I'm like, next time I'm going to give her a toy and be like, I didn't know it was important. Stuffy's going to have guts everywhere.
Actually, that's what taught me to not leave stuffed animals on the floor. Because when I was a little kid, we had a Dalmatian named Max. And
oh my gosh, my dad did too.
Oh, really?
A Dalmatian named Max. That is hilarious.
That's funny. But I used to fill my bed with stuffed animals, and then every night I would put them on the floor. Well, my grandparents had given me this donkey that I loved from their house. And he was on the floor one night and I woke up, and when I got out of bed, there was just the eyeball right there. And I sat there and I was like, what the hell is that?
It's like the Godfather.
And then I realized, I was like, no, I was so mad.
Yeah.
We got rid of Max very quick. Not because of that, but because he was literally like, he chewed on our coffee table. He chewed on my stuffed animals.
Everything. Yeah, I've heard Dalmatians are tough dogs.
They are. Well, I also found out later, I don't know how true this is, but I found out that most Dalmatians are deaf. And so when they sit there, like when you sit there yelling at them to stop doing the shit they're doing, they can't hear you. So they're not going to stop.
Interesting.
Which would make total sense because he did not listen to us.
Yeah. Well, Riley's learned it. That's why she doesn't allow Luna in her room. And so Tyler has yet to learn it, but he doesn't care about toys as much. Like, because she goes after stuffies. She doesn't so much go after toys unless she's really bored. He doesn't care about stuffies as much as toys. I'm like, ah, darn.
That one sucks.
Yeah, one day he'll get it. But anyways, that was my picture. My annoying dog and my oblivious children.
The best.
Yeah. Real life, people. That's who your hosts are. Real people.
Yep. If all you right. are listening to the extended full version, you will know that for sure.
Yes. Some fun before the episode even started. Which you can listen to for, is it $1?
You can do $1. You can do $5. Yeah. You can do $12. You can do whatever you want.
Oh, it's just donation based.
Yeah, basically.
Look at that. What a deal, you guys. We'll talk about that at the end of our episode. Give you more deets.
Anyways. And then you'll be able to listen to how much of real people we are.
Oh, embarrassingly so. We're always like 20 minutes in and we're like, oh, shoot. This is going in the unedited version. Crap.
Yeah, literally, I sat back down and Allie went, okay, so that's going in the unedited version, right? And I was like, fuck.
Like freaking 15 minutes of breathing, like, oh, Loki, you got poop on your paw. Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Anyway, there's your keys. Okay, are we ready to get on with it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so we got a trigger warning. There's murder. Is there murder? Yeah, there is murder. It feels like just an action book action movie, so it's not really super. Say,
I don't remember murder.
Yeah, that's how much. It's basically just action stuff.
Yeah,
it's not like serial killer murder.
It's like what you would expect in an action movie or action story.
Yep. All right. Our synopsis is: we follow Roland. Excuse me. Deshane. Yep. The last gunslinger, as he pursues the man in black across the desolated post-apocalyptic landscape. Roland's ultimate goal is the Dark Tower, a mystical structure that is the nexus of all the universes, and is in his. And his quest is driven by a desire to understand its mysteries. Almost said mysteries. And prevent its potential destruction. You guys, that was the hardest synopsis I've had to read in like freaking forever. I even skipped some words.
You did. You skipped words. You changed words.
Jeez Louise, that's the first time I think I've messed up all season, though.
Actually, I think so, too. I think you're right.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Bring it back to our roots.
Yeah. Anyways. We're back.
Yeah. So our author, we have Stephen King. Director, Nicolaj Arcel?
Arcel? Sure.
Screenplay writer, Akiva Goldsman, Jeff Pinkner. Anders Pinkner?
Pinkner.
Pinkner.
Pink.
Ner.
Yeah.
It's Pinkner. I don't know.
You said pinker.
No, I didn't. It's a pinkner.
Oh, I heard pinker.
I don't know. Maybe I did. Who knows? Anders Thomas Jensen and Nikolaj are either Arkel or Arcel, whatever. The director. Mm-hmm. You're very professional, you guys. Audiobook reader was George Guadal. I don't know. I don't remember.
We all doll. He was entertaining enough.
Okay. Book came out June 10th, 1982. Movie came out July 31st, 2017. That's a 35-year difference.
Oh, that's actually a big difference.
That is a big difference.
I don't think I was expecting that.
No, I don't think so either. And you guys, just so you know, this is a series. It is the Dark Tower series. And we read... The
movie does all of it.
Yeah. And we read the first book. I'm not really sure. Did we only do that for time? Or we started and we didn't realize? Because we've done this with other ones where we've read all of them. If it's in one.
I don't know why I chose to do this one differently. I've always known that it was all of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just knew. I think what it was I think that Dark Tower was supposed to have sequels, the movie. So it was technically supposed to just be based off of the first book. Like the main story is from the first book, and then there's elements from the other books that are in this book, this movie.
Okay.
So it's not exactly all of them put in one.
But there's bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what'd you do first?
I watched it first.
I read it first. I'm like,
yes, you did.
I can't remember.
I was like, what?
We sped through these books, you guys. I'm so proud of us. They're all kind of, not the content, but like the what did you do first? They're all kind of blurring together for me. So
a good chunk of these you read first, though.
I know. You'd think I'd know.
I'm remembering.
Especially,
now. I remember where I was.
Here's the trick,
Allie. When I say that I've watched it first, typically you've read it first.
I know. So that's why I knew. I was like, okay, that means I read it first. But I was trying to remember reading it first. I was like, I thought I watched it, but nope, I read it. All right, so now that we've read it and seen it, what are our thoughts of the plot?
I enjoy it. I think it's a good storyline.
I think I would have liked it if it wasn't a Stephen King book.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It did not feel like, I mean, I know he writes things other than horror, obviously, Shawshank and all that, but this one just did not feel Stephen King. And I think this was the first one I read for our Stephen King month.
Oh, I think so.
Okay, I'm into the spooky season, and then I read this and I was bummed. But the story itself, I could see being enjoyable if I went in with a different mentality.
I can see that. I want to read the other books, but
yeah,
at the moment I do not have the time to.
No.
But...
No. And why did we pick it? You kind of sort of answered, but not really.
So I knew going into it, I knew Dark Tower was not spooky. So I originally, Stephen King month was The Dark Tower, The Long Walk, Boogeyman, then It versus It. But because The Long Walk comes out in September, I wanted that closer to its release date. So I was like, well, that's got to be the first one. And then because I knew that one's not as spooky, I didn't want to go not spooky. Yeah.
Okay.
So we did not spooky, spooky, not spooky, spooky.
Okay. I see it. Mm-hmm. I see it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what I did.
And why out of all Stephen King books did you choose this one, though?
We are dwindling on the better known Stephen King movies.
Oh, okay.
So it's very slim pickings at the moment. Mm-hmm. Or it feels like it's slim pickings. It's really not. It's just kind of like when I'm looking at our whole entire list, it's a pain in the ass to figure out which ones are Stephen King's. I know that there's
make a whole Stephen King page. That would be so
I probably should. I probably should. But I really think like I think there's a movie of his called Rose Red. Christine. We're kind of limited. But the good news is he's coming out with more movies. So, mm-hmm. Although another one that just came out, I really want to watch it. I cannot wait to cover that one, The Chuck of Life.
Or yes, I want to do that one too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But that one's not at all spooky, not in the slightest. So I'm like, do I even schedule that during spooky season because it is Stephen King or what?
Okay. All right. I got some fun facts.
The do it.
Dark Tower is a series of 8 books which span an entire connection universe which links several other books and stories by Stephen King, including Bag of Bones, The Talisman, Black House, The Stand, Everything's Eventual, From a Buick 8, Hearts in Atlantis, Insomnia, The Eyes of Dragon, and Salem's Lot, with minor references to It, The Mist, and The Shining.
Wow. I don't know how it links to Everything's Eventual because that's just a book full of short stories.
Maybe it has some short story element. Like,
I do know that the man in black is very prevalent in all of his books.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to start looking for him. So during the first act of the film, several Stephen King Easter eggs are visible. The twins from The Shining, Dr. Hotchkiss. Yep. Jake's psychiatrist has a picture in his office of the Overlook Hotel. The family, including the dog from Cujo, and the car from Christine, the toy that Jake pushes in his room, are each shown briefly. Towards the end, there's the Rita Hayworth picture from Shawshank, and not to mention Pennywise theme park, is the portal that Jake is told to remember as his way back. Oh, and his way back is 1408, which is the title of 1408. Wow, I thought that was fun.
Yeah, I noticed quite a few of those actually.
Cool.
Yeah.
According to an introduction by Stephen King in one of his books, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, 1966, along with the Lord of the Rings book series, is the primary influence for his book series, The Dark Tower. I'm confused.
Yeah, me too. Well, I guess the Dark Tower is Frodo's mission to throw the ring into.
Oh, I guess.
Yeah, that's how I could see that.
Okay. Number 4, a sequel, not a direct adaptation, rather than being a straightforward adaptation of the Dark Tower book series. The film is actually a continuation of the books, serving as a new cycle in Roland's journey. This is hinted at by the presence of the Horn of Eld, which he doesn't have in the original story but carries in the movies. So this isn't, they're not wanting it to be an adaptation. They're being like, well, okay, we'll
part of me like, feels like they did that because they realized how shitty of an adaptation they did.
Right?
Like, oh shit, this didn't go over well. Okay. It's just not kidding.
This
adaptation.
Is what we meant.
We just wanted to name it the same thing.
Right.
Actually, there's a freaking one of my favorite games I've ever played was a Kickstarter called The Dark Tower, and it's based off of this book series. And the tower is your enemy, and you're working together to fight the enemy. And the tower actually like moves and spins and spits out like skulls to kill you. It's a fun game.
Wow, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, you're good. My last fun fact is Daniel Craig, Christian Bale, Viggo Mortensen, Javier Bardem, and Mads Mikkelsen were all considered for the lead role before Idris Elba was cast.
That's crazy, but
I know
I think they cast the right person. They all would have been great, but I love Idris.
Yep, I do too.
He's
fun fact. Good. I don't look up the cast until after I've watched it. All I knew, though, was that Idris Elba and Matthew McConaughey were in it, and I thought they were switched the entire time I was reading it. So when I watch it and I'm like, wait, Idris Elba isn't the Man in Black? And Matthew McConaughey is? Well, I think it's because, you know, I think of Gunslinger and the cowboy hat. And so I heard, you know, I could just hear Matthew McConaughey's voice.
I was gonna say how he read the Gunslinger. It sounded like fucking Matthew McConaughey in Dazed and Confused.
Yes. So then there's that. And then I pictured, what did I picture? What movie is Idris Elba? Oh, The Office, where he's like, you know, all very prim and proper, like in his suit and everything. So that's kind of why I pictured him as the Man in Black. So when they switched him on me, I was like, okay, but I don't hate it.
No, they both do very good in their roles.
Yes, they do. Okay, are we ready?
Yeah, we ready.
Okie dokie. So, kicks off. The Gunslinger. I'm trying to think if we should start with the movie.
I don't fucking know, Allie. It's
they're just so different.
Yeah, they really are. I feel like to start in the movie, they have to know some stuff from the book.
Yeah. Okay. The Gunslinger is following the Man in Black. A gunslinger stopped at a little camp, and there was this guy named Mr. Brown there. He got talking with him and asking him for food, and they got chatting, and he ended up staying the night. Mr. Brown also had a super annoying bird, and the gunslinger woke up the next day nonchalantly. Mr. Brown's like, your meal's dead, by the way, and the bird pecked out its eyes. And over dinner, he's trying to figure out if Mr. Brown was the Man in Black, like in disguise. And Mr. Brown's like, I'm not going to defend my life, but I hope I live by the time you leave. And Brown asks him to tell the story of himself.
You know who the Man in Black is, right?
What do you mean?
Like, you know who he is.
No.
He's Death.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
No, I did not get that at all.
Yeah, I realized that's why he's in every Stephen King book.
Does he call him the Man in Black in every Stephen King book?
Yeah, like really? Vaguely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We've read a few, and I've almost said something in our podcast, but I'm like, Allie doesn't know that yet, so I'm not even going to go down that rabbit hole. You just
said something because now I missed it throughout this entire book. I'll be rediscovering it as I read.
No, I love I. The reason why I asked was because you're like, and then he's like, your meal's dead. And the bird plucked out its eyes. I was like, oh shit, she doesn't realize.
Wait, I still don't get it. So wait.
The Man in Black is Death. Wherever he goes, death follows.
Right, so now he's trying to decide if Mr. Brown's the Man in Black.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just because his mule is dead?
Just because the mule died and the bird died.
The bird didn't die. The bird ate its eyes.
Oh, the mule's eyes.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, no, just because the mule's dead, he's trying to figure it out. Because before he got there, nothing happened.
No, I did not get that this whole book at all. Like, at all. I think reading it back and explaining it all, I'm still not gonna get it. I'll be like, okay, I guess he's dead.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Stephen King.
There is no little camp. There is no Mr. Brown. There is no dead mule. There is no bird that's plucking out eyes. There is a Mr. Black and the gunslinger, but the gunslinger throughout the whole entire movie just goes by Roland.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it starts with the Man in Black looking for kids that have the shine and shooting them up into outer space. But basically they're shooting them from the Dark Tower to use them as a shield.
Yeah, I didn't understand that at all.
I think it's their shine is blocking Roland from finding the tower. I think. I'm not sure because I haven't read the whole series.
Also, like, what the heck? I didn't even click when reading it because Stephen King has a way, you know, to make things subtle. And so I didn't even pick up on the fact that Jake has the shine until the movie when every single sentence is like, this kid has the shine. Oh my gosh, we gotta get him. He has the shine so strong. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, okay, thank you for telling me, but you don't need to tell me 30 times.
I mean, there's a few things he did in this book, but it wasn't obvious. And I'm pretty positive that in later books, it becomes more obvious.
Okay. Okay. So it was more hinting type of thing.
Yeah. Oh, I should also say the movie follows Jake the whole time.
Okay. Then I'm going to have so many questions if the man in black is death. All right. Get ready for him. Okay. So... So he shared about how he went to this ghost town, but there were people living in it. So he assumed the man in black might have summoned them there if it wasn't for like playing the piano. He heard piano, so there must be real people there. I don't really know. And that's where he bought the mule and then went to the cafe. He spoke to the barmaid who had a nasty scar on her face, and the man by the door that used to be asleep came over and spoke to him in like weird tongues. And he gave him a gold coin, and the guy went back and sat down. And he's like, he should have been dead. So Gunslinger knew the man in black was here at some point. And he spoke to the barmaid about it. And then they went upstairs and slept together.
This does not happen in the movie.
No. Okay. So he's death, but he's bringing dead people back to life. I guess death can do that.
When did he bring a dead person back to life?
This guy. Nort. Oh, here, I'll explain it right now. They spoke about Nort, who was the guy that should have been dead. He's been there since before the barmaid came to town. But one day he went to the bar and he stunk really bad and ended up throwing all this black sludge and blood. And then he died right there. Allie told him then about the man in black. The barmaid's name is Allie. And they were having Nort's wake. And then here he comes, asking for a whiskey, and at first she thought he might have been a priest, and then he goes over and brings him back from the dead. Nort was cursed, though. He always wants to eat weed. And then there was this note left from the man in black that said, Allie, if you tell Nort the number 19, he will awaken and tell her everything about life after death. And she got drunk one night so that she didn't say it because she knew she'd go insane. And Gunslinger's like, yeah, don't say 19 to him or you will go crazy.
Yeah, he's death. He brought him back. But cursed him. What's not to get, Allie? It's more unbelievable when he's death bringing this dude back and cursing him than if he's just a plain old Joe.
I thought it was like some sorcerer.
I mean, he's death.
I mean, in my head, I like to think of death as the nice little skeleton man that like accompanies people on their way to death. Not one that's like, haha, I'm going to control the world and like get all the shine kids and no one can come to the Dark Tower. And
that's Roland's
curse,
for.
Curse.
What's Roland for? Roland's an angel.
What? Oh, this book is too deep. I can't. So yeah, he's death and angels fighting each other?
Yes.
I think I would have enjoyed this book more if I had known all this.
I thought you would have picked up on it.
At no point did I ever think, like, I can see how Man in Black is death, but at no point would I have ever thought Roland was an angel.
It's why he's trying to get to the Dark Tower.
I don't know what the Dark Tower is.
I don't either. I'm just going based off of what the movie and the little bit that the book told us about it. But I'm assuming it's like the control point for good and evil. And so he's trying to go and take over the control point because they lost it. Okay. I'm assuming just from the story, because the gunslinger and the dark man, God, the man in black have history, you know?
Yeah. I don't remember. I'll read and find out.
No, I don't think they tell you in this book.
Okay. Then what is the history do they have?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought they told us in the movie and you were going to tell me and I forgot about it.
No, I'm just making assumptions from the book and the movie because throughout the whole movie, the gunslinger is going after the man in black and he says things like, I've been going after him for a long time. or things like that.
So how do you know he's an angel?
Just because I know the lore.
Oh.
Because when the movie first came out, I like, that's when I was really big into Stephen King. And so I was like wanting to know everything. And so that's when I learned about the Man in Black being Death. And then Roland's the guy fighting this guy. And so why would a plain old Joel fight this guy? He wouldn't. An angel would.
Okay, so there's no point in the story where it makes it obvious that he's Death and an angel.
No, no. I just assumed you would pick up on it.
How would I pick up on it if there was no obvious point?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that the Man in Black is Death because people keep dying around him.
Read it.
Well, I didn't read it.
Bad guy.
I watched the movie first.
No, I mean, like, you studied the lore back then.
No, maybe. I just had a lot of Stephen King fans tell me.
There's a bad guy, and Death follows this bad guy. That's what it seemed like. Y'all, you're coming on an adventure with us this episode, I swear.
Anyways, in the movie, Jake has been having dreams about the Dark Tower, which is, what the fuck? What? Okay.
He's got that shine.
And then he's got that hardcore shine, and they tell us about it every 5 minutes. And basically, everyone's coming after Jake. Like, essentially, this is fucking Dr. Sleep before Dr. Sleep was a thing.
Yep.
That's what this movie is.
I felt like it. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because all these people are chasing after Jake to try and get him. And then Jake had visions of Roland and the Man in Black.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And the Man in Black almost takes Jake. And that never happens in the book. At least this first book.
This first book, no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Gunslinger decided he wanted to go out into the desert, but he didn't know what was out there. So he's kind of trying to prepare himself. He went and talked with this old guy, and he had lots of daughters, and he didn't know either, but he's like, you're welcome to go and try. He spent the next 4 days with Allie, and the piano player came in and was super jealous, and Gunslinger broke his wrists because he held a knife at him. And Gunslinger asked Sheb, I think that's the name of the piano guy. And he's like, you remember this girl? And he's like crying, no, I don't know who it is. And Gunslinger knew he was lying. And Allie came back and talked to him and found out that that was the girl he first loved.
That does not happen in the movie.
No.
Not at all. Because none of these characters exist in the movie except for the kid, Roland, and the Man in Black.
Yep. So he goes to the local church, and their leader is super erratic, and she has about 25 followers. And he asks Allie where she lives, and she's like, behind the church. And he spent one more day with Allie, and then it's like Stephen King fashion, saying, that was the last day I ever saw her alive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's really good at that, huh?
I know, like every book. So he went to the preacher woman's house and kicked the door in, and he wanted to know what was beyond the desert, but she wouldn't tell him. And she let him know, the Man in Black got me pregnant, but not with his child. It's a miracle baby. And then Gunslinger put a gun between her legs and threatened to kill the kid if she doesn't tell him what's beyond the desert. She's crying and fighting. And eventually she let him know that the mountains are beyond the desert. So does this mean that's like the Antichrist? If this is a death and angel story, and it's a miraculous baby.
Oh, maybe. But you would think if it was, he would have just killed the baby. He wouldn't have been like, meh, whatever.
Maybe he doesn't know. But how would he not know?
Mm-hmm.
How did the baby become if a death did a, like, miraculous thing?
How did the baby come?
Why? What do they call Jesus? The Virgin Mary and the something pregnancy. What is it called?
Fuck. Oh, it's right on the tip of my tongue.
I know. That's what I was trying to say with this one. I couldn't remember what it's called.
Isn't it the Immaculate Conception? I didn't even have to get to
Immaculate. What did I call it? Miraculous. That was very close. I know they mean different, but I was, Immaculate Conception. It sounds the same. It counts. Anyways, that's what I was trying to say.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Anyways, whatever.
I don't know. Maybe I'll say yes, it is, just because that makes it more fun.
And I figured it out. Makes me feel better. Oh my gosh. Okay. So he went to get his mule from the one guy with all the daughters. And when he got there, everyone started attacking him. Luckily for him, he saw it coming and they got real nervous. And so he was about to kill them all, but he decided not to. And he let them live and they gave him everything he needed. And then off he went. He went back to talk to Allie and she ran up to him screaming, "Please kill me because I told Nort 19. And then an entire brawl broke out. People start attacking him. He starts shooting them and they got all slashed up in the calf really bad. And he killed 39 people, men, women, and children. And he found Nort dead because a horse had stepped on him and he put his body with the rest of them. And when he was cleaning up, he had a burger, beer, slept one more time, and then moved on the next day.
That does not happen in the movie. Instead, the freaking man in black is hunting down Jake so hard, he ends up going to where he lives. And the parents this whole time have been telling him that his dreams are made up, they're not real, whatever. And then the man in black shows up at their house and the mom's like, "Holy fuck, you're who my son's been drawing."
Yep. So anyways, that was the end of the story, he told Mr. Brown. And the next day, Mr. Brown fed him and sent him on his way. So the gunslinger is wandering in the desert and he thought he found the man in black, but it turns out it was just a kid. He ended up falling down and passing out because I don't know why he passed out, but he did.
I think it's because he was wandering around the desert for so long.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I'm pretty sure he ran out of water.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so he wakes up and the boy, aka Jake, who's been in the movie the whole time, is talking about how he saw the man in black, but he doesn't remember anything. He says tomorrow he won't remember his name, and he tries to explain everything that he doesn't remember, which is that he remembers he went to school and then he woke up out here and he's scared and he just wants it to end. And Gunslinger says, "I have a way for you to remember." And he pulled out a syringe or something. How did he get him to remember?
Oh, I don't remember how he got him to remember.
He did something and the kid then starts spewing out all this story of his childhood. And then after it all, the gunslinger's like, "Do you want to remember this?" And Jake's
No, he didn't pull out a shot. It was he used his
his angel magic.
Yeah, he did. He was like, "I can do something to make you remember if you want, but it's going to fuck with you."
He's right.
Like, yeah. So this is what confuses me.
When it first said that, my first or initial notes were that he freaking killed him. He's like, "I got something I'll help you remember." And what the heck? So
I'm pretty positive the man in black killed Jake already. Jake's in the in-between. He's not in the good place or the bad place right now. He is in purgatory.
And that's
why he can't remember his name. And that's why he's going to forget everything else tomorrow and yada, yada, yada.
So then Gunslinger brought him back alive with his angel magic?
No, he just helped him remember. I don't think he brought him back to life. Because again, the end of this book, there's no real resolution, right? Because it's a series. And it's very different from the movie because this part does not happen.
No. This was one of those ones that I'm like, I can't wait to watch this because I'm so confused. And then I watched it and I got even more confused. Now you're telling me they're death and angels. Now I'm even more confused. Oh my gosh. All right. Okay. So after Jake tells him all the story, he's like, "Do you want to remember this?" And Jake's like, "Nope." And then he put him to sleep. And Gunslinger just kept thinking about how him and the others, when they talk and lose track of time. And he's wondering if the man in black is trying to let him catch up and why he would do that.
That does not happen.
Jake asked if he was going to kill the man in black. And he said he didn't know, but he has questions for him. and he wants to find out how to get to the Dark Tower.
I mean, the whole movie is him trying to figure out how to get to the Dark Tower.
Yeah.
And now that the Man in Black is in Jake's house, he kills his mom and stepdad. And Jake also is not happy about that. Yeah.
Nope. It took me watching the movie to realize that Jake was from Earth. Or like, what the heck? Is it all Earth and it's just a different timeline?
No, I'm like I just said, I think it's purgatory.
Oh, that's right.
Or are you talking about movie?
No, here in the book. Yeah.
In the book. I think so it's purgatory.
There. Oh, that kind of makes sense then.
Mm-hmm. And that's why it's like Western style.
Yeah. Oh, and that's why. Oh, okay. Jake knows all these things, like invisible and everything, and Gunslinger's like, oh, talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I guess. Okay. So Gunslinger and Jake explore the cellar that they found. And they found some food and grabbed it, but then the cellar collapsed. And there were these demons speaking in high speech down there. And they said that the longer you travel with the boy, the Man in Black will have your soul in his pocket. And before he left, he went and broke down the wall to get the jawbone of the creature that was speaking. And when he got out of the cellar, Jake gave him a huge hug and he realized he loved the boy, which is exactly the trap the Man in Black was going for.
I mean, this Roland does start like not having feelings for a boy. That sounds gross, but like caring about the boy. And so that part does happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I bet you this part is from the book. My next note is that the Man in Black is trying to bring the tower down. So the Man in Black doesn't want the tower there, whereas I think Gunslinger is trying to protect it to keep it there because that's what helps the souls get to where they're supposed to go.
Ah, I see.
And the Man in Black wants all the souls with their shine for himself.
Oh. So we can tell.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Listeners, if you've read the whole series and you know what's going on, let us know.
Because we're so confused. You've read all 8 books, please.
I'm just fucking choosing and picking what I think is right. I'm like, I've read other books. I know what could possibly be the case.
These people are like, I'm so excited. They're doing the Dark Tower. And they listen to it. They're like, this is the worst podcast I've ever heard.
They should have read all of the books.
Yeah. All they're saying is, I don't know, maybe this. I don't know. Oh, whatever. Okay. So Jake is getting real tired. So they took a break every once in a while. And Gunslinger kept dreaming about his past. Memory of him as a child, and him and his friends were at these courts with their leaders, and Gunslinger was getting in trouble, and his friend was kind of making fun of him behind his leader's back. And later they went to the kitchen to get some food. The cook gave them food and told them to go away, don't get me in trouble. And the boss came in. They head under the stairs, they eat it, and then they have this conversation about how this main boss wants them to go to this new land where they're going to feed kids poison meat. And the two boys were horrified. Roland also, this is where we learn Roland's name, and Gunslinger went and told his dad, and the boys gave the court their notes from their father that said they were excused from whatever the next thing they had to do. They then went straight to the gallows and watched the people come in, and Roland's friend freaked out and said he didn't want to watch. It was the cook that was brought in and he was hanged. The boys though watched, and his friend ended up being super into it, surprisingly, but Roland was not as much as he thought he would be.
I think his friend is the Man in Black. I think the Man in Black is a fallen angel.
Okay, I thought his friend was the Man in Black, too.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of waiting for the reveal, and it never did, so I didn't know.
Potentially could happen in later books.
I know. So, 5 years had passed, and his dad died, and now he's a gunslinger, and that was his whole memory. So, you think he's a fallen angel because he enjoyed watching the death?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you watching death if they're angels? like up in heaven. Why are people dying?
Why do people die every day?
Well, my thoughts are once you're an angel in heaven, you don't die anymore. But I don't know. I guess I don't know. I've never been up there before.
But don't you think that they are watching us?
So they're watching. So this is an earth thing? I thought that was from them because it was the cook that died.
Well, that is true. I don't know.
Interesting. They're just. Mm-hmm. I just want to know what Stephen King was thinking when he wrote this book. Like, what? I want to know his mind. Like, this makes sense because of this.
And he would tell you to read the series.
I know. He would be like, if you read all of them, you'll know. I'll be like, yeah, 8 books, Stephen.
I don't want to. Can you just tell me?
So they caught up to the man in black. And Gunslinger is very excited, but he knows they need to rest. And Gunslinger looked at Jake, knowing he'd be a human sacrifice, which apparently he already was.
In the movie, basically all the bad guys have now invaded the town and they're chasing down the Gunslinger and Jake. The Gunslinger gets wounded and... After the man in black kills Jake's mom, he goes into the bathroom. Did you pick this up? Because then I was like, I wonder if he's trying to contact a person we know. Because he goes into the bathroom and on the foggy mirror, he writes hello there with the smiley face that what's her face does in Dr. Sleep.
Interesting. He did on the foggy mirror. Oh, yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I thought that was freaking weird and I didn't get it, didn't click. He's trying to
for me.
Talk to.
I mean, I don't know if he is trying to talk to her, but the fact that she does that with Danny
or made me go, to Dan.
Oh, that too. He could be just trying to talk to Danny.
Interesting. Okay, Gunslinger went to bed and he had a nightmare. He dreamed of this girl dying, even though this isn't, or his girl, his whatever, his wife, girlfriend, whatever, dying, even though that's not how it happened. She was being burned alive. She kept saying, save the boy. And then he sees Jake and he has stakes through his head and he wakes up like in Jake's muffled screams and turns out Jake was sleepwalking and he's having nightmares about the Oracle. Gunslinger woke him up and brought him back to camp and he let him know, hey, I have to leave for a little bit, but take this pill. Oh no, he took the pill. Gunslinger took the pill and it let him kind of like remember a whole bunch of stuff. And the kid's like, oh, like LSD. And Gunslinger's like, I don't know what that is, but okay. And he let him know that if he's not back at sunset, leave and just go do your own thing. And he gave him the jawbone of the Oracle demon thing he found earlier. Gunslinger went off and it started to hit him. He spoke to the Oracle asking if there was a way that the kid can be saved. And it said, yeah, if you turn around right now. And he's like, I can't do that. I made a promise. I'm a gunslinger. And he's like, well, you are all be damned then. Good luck. And he went back to Jake. They continued to follow the man in black. And nightly, he would have nightmares of Jake dying. And he spoke to Jake about his hometown. And they followed the man in black. They would go to areas that they couldn't reach, but the men in black left ropes for them to continue on their path. And finally, a week later, they came into contact with him. None of that?
No. Okay. None of that.
Jake told the gunslinger he's going to kill him, and he knows the gunslinger knows that too. They finally get to the man in black, and he comes out to talk to them. And after chatting a bit, the man in black is like, okay, bye, and went back into the darkness. Jake and Gunslinger went after the man in black again because he just teased them before and he didn't give them what he wanted. And there were certain things that they knew the man in black did to help them succeed on their journey. And when they found, like, they found a hand cart, which Jake immediately knew how to use, and they used that and they were going on their way. And Gunslinger and Jake spoke. Wait, is there... Did they do a cart in the movie? No.
No, but the gunslinger and the man in black do have a big fight in a gun store.
That's right.
Yeah, but no cart.
Okay. Gunslinger and Jake spoke about growing up, and Gunslinger said he didn't grow up like normal. He didn't really grow up until his dad kicked him out. And Gunslinger was reminiscing on the past, and he remembered the time when he was walking and his father's right-hand man, Martin, called him in to see his mother. And his mother clearly had been sleeping with Martin, but she was also getting abused. And when Gunslinger left, he heard him beat his mom. And Gunslinger went to the court and said that he's ready to do his final test. And this is very, like, not normal, because normally he needs to be 18 to do, but this guy's like, okay, if you want to.
You know and what it probably is? Sorry, I'm just now realizing. I bet you Roland and the Man in Black were probably human first, and then they died, and then they became Man in Black and Gunslinger.
Like, this test right here is...
real life
human.
Mm-hmm. Again, I don't know. I'm just making assumptions.
Oh no, here, I bet this is what it is. Okay, let me finish this part. He's like, normally you need to be 18 and fine, like, if you failed, you're banished. And he went and he picked David the Raven to be his weapon, and then they went back to the courts, and the person running it kind of laughed and was like, whatever, good luck. But turns out the Raven was awesome and, like, plucked at him and pecked him, and he, like, almost died. And David ended up winning, and he passed the test, and then he earned his guns. I bet it's like he earned his wings.
Oh, duh. Yeah, you probably. Think? Probably.
And then that's when he became like
angel
solo life.
Gandalf?
No, began.
Oh, I thought you said became Gandalf. I was like, wrong franchise.
I don't know. He said he learned it from Lord of the Rings. Okay, they kept going on their way in their little handcart, and all of a sudden these mutants came their way, and a battle broke out, and they had to escape, and Jake was terrified. But they worked together, and they were able to get past it. See, this is where the not Steve, like, bummed me that it was Stephen King, but it didn't feel like Stephen King. Like, I'm like, oh, mutants are coming. Like, this is going to be good. And it was, like, so quick and, like, not super detailed that I was like, I couldn't really picture what they looked like or what was happening very much, because mm-hmm. it just seemed to go so fast. And mm-hmm. I really was hoping for more spooky Stephen King-ness with that one.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. There weren't really mutants at all in the movie.
No, not at all. Not in the slightest.
Okay. Well, on their path, they found a strip mall station. It was empty inside, and they wandered for a bit, and they found this ammo shop, but all of it was compromised except for the crossbow, and he started to see these skeletons, and they decided to get moving. Jake and the gunslinger rode through the tunnel, and they finally got to the river area over a trestle bridge, and Jake was not having it, and like, it's going to crash immediately, but they went over, and sure enough, it starts to fall. And then here comes the Man in Black, and Gunslinger's like, you have a choice. You can either go and save Jake, or you can come get me. And he hesitates too long, and then Jake falls.
What's funny in the movie is that the Gunslinger has to go save Jake at the place where the Man in Black is, but also then they have a huge-ass showdown. Mm-hmm. And then the movie's done after him and Jake win the fight.
Yep, but we got a little bit more of the book left. So the Man in Black is very pleased and invites him to come with him, and then him and the Man in Black chat for a little bit. And turns out Death, I guess, Man in Black, is a tarot card reader, and he's ready to read the cards of the Gunslinger. There was Death in it, and there was the Dark Tower and Life. And Death and Life were not for the Gunslinger, but the Man in Black wouldn't tell him for who. Apparently it's the Man in Black, I guess. Mm-hmm. Gunslinger ended up waking up after this tarot card reading, and it was like he was in a dream. But this whole world, like, when the world was being created, and there were, like, dinosaurs and everything. And then the Man in Black and the Gunslinger come back together, and they're talking about the universe and Gunslinger's past, and finally it came out that the Dark Tower is unreachable, and he kind of should just give up, but the Gunslinger says, I can't, I'm a Gunslinger. And then the Man in Black said that, well, I'm Walter, and that shocked the Gunslinger, and Gunslinger went to sleep and woke up 10 years later, and the Man in Black was a skeleton next to him, and he took the jawbone and the rest and like put it in his pocket and prepared to go to the Dark Tower.
I don't know. If you read the whole series, let us know everything that we just speculated about.
Please. Write us like a novel and we will read the entirety on our recap.
Yep. Please help us help you all hear the real story.
Yes. But that's it.
We did it.
Let's do some cast. We got 66 people were cast for this movie. Our first one is Matthew McConaughey is Walter, aka the man in black.
He's perfect as the man in black.
Yeah, he was really spooky.
Yeah, I love that they cast him as the bad guy because I feel like not enough people would.
Mm-hmm.
And so I liked seeing him as the bad guy.
Yes, I agree. Idris Elba is Roland or the gunslinger.
Freaking love him as the gunslinger. He does so good.
Yep, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Taylor is Jake.
He did good. He was good.
Yeah. He's old. Mm-hmm. He had back then.
Yeah. Yep.
And I guess Jake's mom is Catherine Winnick.
She is from Bones, so I like her.
Oh, I like her. Yeah,
except for I don't like her in Bones. She's the person who keeps Booth and Bones away from each other.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I like this.
Yeah, she's good in this. I agree.
Okay. Is the theme of the book and the movie the same?
Kind of.
Oh.
They're both about the Dark Tower.
Yeah. I guess.
It's like very loosely the same.
Yeah, I would say that. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the book has other priorities.
Mm-hmm.
The movie has other priorities. But in the end,
they're both
the main priority. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do the characters stay true?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Because Roland is still going after the man in black. The man in black is still evil. And Jake is still a kid that's kind of caught in the fire.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like the answer should be yes, but
I think it is.
Yeah.
And, which do you prefer?
I prefer the movie. I loved it. I really enjoyed the movie.
I didn't like either of them. I guess the movie was less confusing. I'm gonna go movie too. I wonder if that would be different
because it's less confusing.
Yes, not because I necessarily liked it more. It was just less confusing.
So, Allie, would you recommend it to a friend?
No, I mean I don't. Just reading one. No, like maybe if I read them all and I'm like, it all makes sense now. I love it.
That's true.
Reading one, no, I would not.
That's actually true. I would because I think it's an enjoyable, like it was different for Stephen King, but I actually like really enjoyed this story. And like the rest of the series is now on my TBR for me to get to at some point. Not like it wasn't before because I've always like my main goal in life is to read all of Stephen King's books, but anyway. Right. So yeah.
Cool. I know I realize my answer is different from like our very first question of now that you know the plot, what do you feel? And I was like, I mean, I think it was a good story. After rereading all my notes, I'm like, no, and figuring out that I was wrong half the time and a death and that it just confused the crap out of me now. And that's why I changed my answer. So don't come after me. Be like, you said it was this. And then you said this.
As I'm editing this, I'm going to be texting you going, girl, you liked it at first.
I know. I'll be like, shut up. Listen to the episode. Oh my gosh. Would you, we recommended it already. Nope, thanks. Okay, so
no, I did.
Oh my gosh. We have a website. It is.
What?
I know. Offscript253.wixsite.com/offscript.
You should check it out. There's so much that you can do there now. That used to not be the case.
I know. They're like, we have all the regular stuff, like where you can rate, subscribe, review. But now we have like where you can check out our theory. We have where you can sign up and donate to us. We have
sign up for our newsletter.
Yep.
That goes out once a month. First day of the month. Maybe the second or third day. That's a good question, Ellie.
Like our extended episodes.
I wonder if that's through Red Circle.
We should put that.
We should link it. But we should also start our Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
And start putting that exclusive shit on Patreon as well. Everyone.
We should.
And Allie and I have talked about it. And in the future, we're going to start video recording these episodes.
Season 8, we're going to start trying to do that.
Mm-hmm. And that will be the exclusive content you get, as well as it not being edited.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And you guys, I know not edited stuff is like, well, then you're going to leave all the boring stuff. You guys, we are quite entertaining, and we take a lot of that stuff out. So
I take a lot of the jokes that we say out that I'm like, ooh, that's a little bit too risky for me to just put out for anyone. So if you're a bit riskier, you might want to look at that.
And so, yes, under donate, we will have the link for either just donations or to sign up for the bonus content. Mm-hmm. And we have all of our little tabbies, including Patreon, so you can sign up there as well.
Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Also, don't forget to rate, subscribe, and review for us, because that's one of the best ways that you can help us out.
Yep. Share some episodes. Share your mm-hmm. favorite. Be like, oh my gosh, Facebook friends. Oh my gosh, Instagram friends. Oh my gosh, TikTok friends.
Work friends.
Work friends. This is my favorite podcast, and this is my favorite episode of that podcast. Huh. Anyways, gosh, you can see all of this information on our website under our theme.
Go check it out, everyone. Check it out. Yeah. And then don't forget to check out on YouTube, Panel by Panel. That is the comic book channel that I edit for. Mm-hmm. I almost just said some shit that we aren't even going to be talking about just yet, that you and I haven't even talked about in person, that we need to talk about.
Oh, interesting. I'm intrigued.
And I hope you know. It's something that I won't even say for the extended one.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm, interesting. I wonder what's cooking.
What could it be?
Mm-hmm. But go check it out, Panel by Panel. You can find the social medias for it with Panel by Panel Show, I think is what it's called. Let me look that up. Yeah, it's Panel by Panel Show.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We might have a mini-sode for you. Might not.
Tune in. I actually think we will. Hopefully, okay. Because next week we should be recording mini-sodes with John.
Okay.
And if that's cool. True, that's
right.
Then...
That's right.
We should have some.
And then, we should. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
But on Monday, we for sure will have an episode for you. And we're not reading a 900-page book or a
50-hour... Way to discredit my insane book that I've read. my most insane page count and you just brought it down to 900. It's like 1136 or some shit like that.
Oh my gosh, I was like 300 pages off. I'm so sorry.
I'm googling it.
It is 50 or it's 49 hour audiobook, I would say. Because I was like, maybe I'll just
1,184 pages.
I was 200 pages off. I'm so sorry.
Oh, wait. Maybe I was right. Page count for Stephen King's, it varies by edition.
Wow.
The first edition was 1,138. So now I'm wondering if I have the first edition.
Wow.
So there's like 30 pages that I haven't read.
Or it's just by size of font and everything.
Oh, I like that better. I'm not even gonna look into that.
Okay.
I will never read that again.
I was thinking, I was like, Bree's read it, you know, and I kind of want to read it. I was like, maybe I'll just listen to it like on the side in between throughout the season so I can do it. And then I was like, 49 hours. I'm like, I ain't got 49 hours. So next week we are comparing the original to the remakes.
Mm-hmm. And I might, if I remember well enough, be able to throw in some tidbits of what I've read, but I read it before the pandemic, so it's been a hot minute since I've read it.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a whole fucking year to read the book, so
I believe it. Off script that, to be on pause for a year, you guys.
Oh,
the book.
Yeah, no, I won't, especially since like that book, I would sit down and read a good chunk of it, and then it would burn me out from reading. And I was like, oh, I don't want to pick up any books. So then I would like take a month or two break, and then I would pick it back up. Yeah, it was a pain in the ass.
But you did it.
I did. Very proud of myself for that.
All right. With that, the Dark Tower.
Went off script.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shoutouts to Madame Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze
for Book Tales.